2079. Designing Freedom. Self-Sovereignty, Technology, and the Future of Belonging. By Dr. Michael Gebert. Why this book exists now. Books about technology usually appear at moments of acceleration. They respond to innovation cycles, new capabilities, or emerging disruptions. Their urgency is derived from novelty. This book exists for a different reason. 2079, Designing Freedom, does not respond to a new technology. It responds to a structural shift that has already taken place. Intelligent systems are no longer emerging. They are present. They no longer announce themselves as tools, but operate as environments, shaping attention, structuring decisions, and redefining the conditions under which human agency is exercised. What has changed is not simply what systems can do, but how they are positioned in relation to judgment, responsibility, and meaning. This shift has outpaced its conceptual language. Public discourse continues to oscillate between enthusiasm and alarm. One side celebrates efficiency, scale, and automation. The other warns of loss, of jobs, control, or authenticity. Both perspectives remain incomplete. They focus on outcomes rather than conditions, on effects rather than structures. What remains largely unexamined is the quiet transformation of agency itself. This book exists because that transformation can no longer be treated as peripheral. The question is no longer whether intelligent systems will influence human decision-making. They already do. The question is whether humans, individually and collectively, retain authorship over the frameworks within which decisions acquire meaning. This is not a technical question. It is an epistemic one. 2079, Designing Freedom, approaches this moment neither as a prediction nor as a manifesto. The year in the title does not mark a forecasted endpoint. It functions as a horizon, a distance sufficient to step outside the immediacy of current debates without retreating into abstraction. By looking beyond the present cycle of innovation, the book asks what kind of agency remains possible once intelligent systems have become infrastructural. At the center of this inquiry lies sovereignty, not as a political slogan or a technological promise, but as a fragile condition. Much has been written about self-sovereignty in recent years, in the context of identity, data, and decentralization. These discussions often assume that sovereignty can be engineered, secured, or optimized. This book takes a more cautious stance. It treats sovereignty not as an achievement, but as a practice, contingent, relational, and constantly under pressure. From this perspective, the most critical form of sovereignty is neither legal nor technical, but cognitive. Cognitive sovereignty refers to the capacity to retain authorship over one's own reasoning processes, to judge relevance, to assign meaning, and to resist the substitution of plausibility for understanding. In environments optimized for speed and coherence, this capacity erodes not through coercion, but through convenience. The loss is subtle, cumulative, and rarely acknowledged. This book exists now because that loss has become systemic. As intelligent systems increasingly mediate what is seen, summarized, recommended, or decided, the boundary between assistance and abdication blurs. Decisions appear as outputs rather than judgments. Authority migrates from institutions to infrastructures. Responsibility diffuses across systems that no longer resemble traditional centers of power. The resulting condition is not one of domination, but of displacement. Individuals are told to be autonomous in environments they do not shape. Organizations expect accountability while delegating judgment to systems. Institutions struggle to maintain legitimacy under conditions of compressed time and distributed decision-making. In this landscape, sovereignty risks becoming performative. Invoked rhetorically, while hollowed out structurally. 2079. Designing freedom does not offer solutions to these tensions. It does not propose governance frameworks, technical architectures, or ethical checklists. Its contribution is of a different nature. The book seeks to clarify the conceptual terrain. It distinguishes between judgment and decision, agency and authority, systems and institutions. It introduces terms where existing language proves insufficient, and it insists on limits where prevailing narratives promise control. In doing so, it resists the temptation to resolve complexity prematurely. This resistance is intentional. In an age of intelligent abundance, clarity is not achieved by adding answers, but by refining questions. The value of this book lies not in what it prescribes, but in what it makes difficult to ignore. The conditions under which human agency remains meaningful when intelligence itself becomes ambient. The final movement of the book shifts from sovereignty to stewardship. If sovereignty concerns the right to decide, stewardship concerns the responsibility to preserve the conditions that make decision possible over time. This is not a moral appeal, but a structural necessity. No individual, no organization, and no system can sustain sovereignty alone. It requires institutions capable of holding uncertainty, absorbing risk, and cultivating judgment across generations. This, ultimately, is why 2079 exists now. Not because the future is arriving, but because the present has already changed. The question is not whether intelligent systems will shape human life. They already do. The question is whether humans will remain capable of shaping the frameworks within which those systems operate, and of recognizing what must not be delegated. This book offers no guarantees. It offers orientation. And in moments of structural transition, orientation is not a luxury. It is a prerequisite for agency.